works that are of the permissible nature. Where the Quran or the Hadith has not sounded any type of impermissibility. And these works can be categorized into two groups. One is that which is of a doubtful nature. That which is of a doubtful nature, then we leave it out. We don't go near it. Now, doubtful works may be several kinds. For example, you're walking on the road and there's a person coming up. It may be a boy and it may be a girl as well. If it turns out to be a woman and you glance at her, you just wanted to find out what it is, whether it's a man or a woman, then this wasn't required of you. There was no need for you to look at that. In the meanwhile, that poison of seeing her has already stuck into your heart. You may say it's an accidental glance, but really there was no need for you to look at her or look at that person that is walking past. Now, this happens quite easily or quite frequently when you want to see the motorist. You're walking and you're seeing who's that person that is driving. Now, this is something that is very discreet, only Allah Ta'ala knows. On the one end, the motorist needs to be careful. He needs to take all his caution when he's driving. But simultaneously, he needs to also take caution of his own personal taqwa. And he's looking there. What is the niyat looking there? He's looking because of precaution. He's sincere about that. Or he feels that there is someone smart that is driving, and I need to just watch who's that person. See? So this is a very dangerous thing. Very, very dangerous thing. You need to take care of your heart at that time. Istafti qalbak. Ask your heart. So this is one area which may be classed as a doubtful area. So the doubtful area, if you can help it, leave it out. Like I say, when you are driving, if you can help it, you don't need to see who is that person, then leave it out, forget it. Carry on your work. Admawa Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi says that these doubtful areas normally they border with sin. He gives an example that I was going to travel and I had some private work of my own. One person came to me and asked me that, can I have an appointment with you this following day? I said, no, I'm going out tomorrow and I won't be able to see you. Now this person then asks, and where are you going to and what work are you going for? Now that was a private work. For example, now I'm going there, there's a dispute between two brothers. If I want to say I'm going there to sort out this dispute, this was something that they held me in confidence and they didn't wish that I disclose this. Now I say I'm going to arbitrate between them, they've got a dispute, I'm going for this arbitration. Obviously I'm not keeping the confidence. And now this person is asking. So if he's going to ask, then he's causing me a little bit of taklif. I wish to keep this discreet. I wish to keep this in confidence, and he's asking me. So he's causing this pain to me. But the fact that he's asking this question, there was no need for him to ask. There was no need. It was something that did not relate to him. When it didn't relate to him, then he shouldn't have fallen into it. Now that he's fallen into it, he's caused pain. Now causing pain to a Muslim, that is sinful. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. Intizam is an important thing in Sharia. many Buzrugan Adin, they are very cautious about it, intizam. It may be not compulsory and wajib, but there is a thing like intizam, taking proper precautions, etc., doing things well organized, and being particular about things. So this is in the tabiat of certain Buzrugan Adin. And when they don't see things in tabiat, in order and in system, then they're not comfortable. Right? A student's supposed to be in class on this time, and they don't see him in time in the class, so they don't feel nice about it. Right? Or the teacher needs to be in time, he's not there. Or the imam sahab needs to be in time, and he's not there on time. So this is indicative that there is a system, there is an order, and that order is important. That order brings a lot of ease, a lot of comfort. You get a lot of complaints coming in that this husband of mine is not responsible. He's supposed to come at 8 o'clock after Isha is supposed to come. He's caught up with some friend of his or some meeting or some masla, someone inquired from him and he got stuck up with him. Now he comes in home at about 10 o'clock. He doesn't even telephone. Now imagine if the woman is all by herself and this person did not inform. What happens to her? In this climate, in this condition, what happens? They feel panicky. But it is the fault and the weakness of the husband that he is not organized. He doesn't have a system. If it was something that he did not expect, something unexpected, something that he had not planned for, and it happened at the spur of the moment, and he should have the decency to at least notify. See, I'm going to be late, so don't wait for me. You coming in from Joburg, for example, and you tell your wife you're coming in at about 5 o'clock. Now it's already past 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you aren't coming. So they become panicky. But what's going around everywhere, they don't feel comfortable about it. So this sense of responsibility, you've been given a task, you've been asked to do something, then one is, when you have accomplished the task, you go to that person and tell him, you know, that work you've given me, I have accomplished that work. Or they expect you to be in a certain way. They expect you to be in a certain way, then you do according to the expectation when you are work-related. When there's a work-related thing and they expect you to be in a certain way, to conduct a thing in a certain way, then do it in that way. Here again you have these extremes, see, in a work or whatever it is. Just an example. I remember when I was in Johannesburg, so one person came and complained. Says, well, we complained to the Imam Sahab that performing the namaz is very short. So now the Imam Sahab, when he got this complaint that he's performing the namaz is very short, it's taking him 6 minutes, now he makes sure that the namaz goes to 20 minutes. Now they complain, why it's too long. So he then tells them that people don't know what you want. When I'm short, then I'm too short. When I'm long, then I'm too long. What do you want? Now, what is moderation, he doesn't know. But he wants to use the musalla to spite those people, to get that back at those people. So, ibadat hui, is this ibadat of Allah Ta'ala? Or is this an occasion to spite, to show them a point, to fix them up? Namaz fixes you up. Aqim is salat ali dhikri. For your own good, you're performing namaz. Not to fix those musallis up. So, these type of things have become quite common. And the reason for it is there is no islah, no reformation. Nobody is looking for reformation, correct. In uridu illa islah mastata'at. See, the Nabi says, I wish for reformation. I intend reformation, correction. One place I went, in India, Madras, they complained to the Imam, this working class community, so see that the Jummah namaz is short. So the Imam Sahib got upset about the whole thing. Ek to tum log hafte mein ek hi martaba namaz ke liye aate. You only come once a week for namaz. Only once a week for namaz you come for. And there also you complain. Make up your mind what you want to be, a Muslim or a Hindu. Now that Imam Sahib is performing the khutbah, and he'll make sure that in that khutbah he takes about 15 minutes. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu. Now he's going to take 20 minutes in that. They are a working class. And the degree of iman, the level of iman is not so high. Count it a blessing that they're coming to the masjid for the Jummah namaz. Will you become the means of them missing the Jummah namaz? You're going to lengthen that namaz. They don't have that level of iman like you're talking of. As a result, what's going to happen? They say, hey, it's our job or Jummah namaz. What do we do? We have to choose one of the two. We can't lose our job. We've got so many mouths to feed. Now, that is the degree of iman they have got. So, when something is expected of you, you can understand now, you can reason. You are in a situation now, what must I do? What do my superiors expect of me? What do they want of me? So in that working environment goes very, very well. There's understanding. Now you're seeing in your musallis, I remember once, there was a complaint. One of the students was performing namaz in the masjid, the top masjid. One madrasa student was performing namaz. So one old musalli came and complained. Then Muhammad told that student that he must take it a little bit easy when he's coming up from the sajda. He explains to me, see, I am old, I am aged. I can't make the movement as fast as he makes it. Subhanallah Rabbil Azim, Subhanallah Rabbil Azim, Subhanallah Rabbil Azim, Subhanallah Rabbil Azim, 3-4 times, quick, and he's up and down again. But that old man can't manage it. Now, the imam needs to be considerate. He can't be too long, he can't make it 8 times and 7 times, and he can't make it too short. He must make it that is manageable for his entire jamaat. He makes it such that it's manageable for the entire jamaat. So one is that you need to be timeless in your work. See, you get respect in that. Apart from getting respect in that, the students also learn some type of system, learn some type of order. Mawlana Ansari Rahmatullah Alayhi was the imam in West Street for years, for many years was it. But I would remember, as far as I remember, my memory takes me, he will be in the masjid at least 10-15 minutes before the azan. He is there. After the namaz also he is there. And I used to wonder, why is this man coming so early to the masjid and leaving after? He comes at least 10 minutes and he goes after 10 minutes afterwards. So there are several advantages. One is that musallis also feel itminan, they feel at ease that our Imam Sahib is here on time. They don't feel pareshan. Now the Imam Sahib complains, okay, no, namaz time is up and people are looking around. But why do you complain about yourself as well? It's wrong of them to look around, right? They must wait for 1-2 minutes. But it's your problem as well that you're not timeless in your work. If you were timeless, then they wouldn't have looked around. Now every day, every second day now, you look 1 minute, 2 minutes, half minute, 3/4 minute, every second day, this become your habit, it's become your routine. So that makes them look around. But had you been timeless, you'd been on time, then they wouldn't have done all these type of things. So the Imam Sahib needs to be on time. Now and then, occasionally half a minute is late, it's all right. But as a pattern, he needs to be on time. So now they respect you. There may be people there that can't spend more time. They can spend 6 minutes, 7 minutes in the masjid and they have to go out. Alright, look at the situation. The Imam Sahib himself is sick. In spite of his illness, he came to the masjid. Right? And he led the namaz. When he's sick, his whole body is in pain and aching. How is he going to perform the namaz? Is he going to stretch the namaz or is he going to shorten the namaz? Definitely he's going to shorten the namaz. The Imam Sahib has got some very important work. He needs to go out. He's performed the namaz. How is he going to do it? He'll see it's in moderation, short, manageable. So that he can attend to his work or his illness, he's taking care of himself as well. So as you are sick, there may be someone else that is sick. If you are ill, there's someone else ill also. So if you have that consideration, then you have no complaints. But if you don't have that type of consideration, aye din koi na koi shikayat aati rahegi. Every coming day will bring a new complaint. So this type of system, to have that system within one's tabiat, is very important. Doing any work, you'll see people will respect you. That was the first advantage, the first thing I understood in Mawlana's work, when I've seen him. The second thing what I felt was that Mawlana's way attracted a lot of youngsters to the masjid. He's there 10 minutes, so someone says, "Well, I got a masla to ask." Youth have it now. They only remember the masla when they see the imam sahab. They see the mu'adh and they remember the masla. Like how a lot of people remember the illness when they see the doctor. Yeah? There's no doctor, they don't know sickness. So a lot of people remember the masla, say, "Mawlana, I got one masla." All the time they were not worried about the masla, but they saw the Mawlana, they're asking on masla. So they have it that they want to ask on masla when they see that alim. So now before the namaz, you know, he will go to Mawlana and he will ask him that masla. So he's there before namaz. He's there after namaz, we can talk to him. See? So that imam sahab needs to be like this. I've seen two imams like this. One was Mawlana Ansari sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, Allah fill his grave with nur. And the second imam that warned a lot of youngsters was Qari Abdul Hamid sahab in Kirk Street. A lot of people he warned, just the same way. Through the masjid, he warned a lot of people. You see the people that are active in Jamaat presently, I remember those days when we were in Miasan, they became attracted to Qari sahab, Qari Abdul Hamid sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, because of his timeous approach. He was very timeous. On time, meticulous. And he's there in the masjid. People are watching him, they're observing him. He's got time for them. Thanvi sahab rahmatullahi says, see, when we have this timeless approach, then there isn't a problem. But when there isn't a timeless approach, then there is a problem, definitely. He says about Kanpur, when I was teaching in Kanpur, and there was a Mawlana, very good Mawlana, ways, everything was very good. Students were comfortable with him, his teaching, for that 6 hours that he needed to teach his teaching. And if it is that the student doesn't know his work or he needs some attention, some tuition, the Ustad, the Mawlana is offering it to him. So they're quite comfortable with the Mawlana, and the Mawlana is comfortable with the people. He's teaching them within time. If the time has elapsed, time has expired, and they want some additional attention, he's giving it to them. Now everything was working out very fine for him. Suddenly someone comes up and makes an offer to Mawlana. "You know, I got some consignment, you can sell it, you can make some money for yourself." Now it's very lucrative. Right? So Mawlana went into the lakra business, firewood. Now, India, they used, at that time they were using firewood. Now in most places they're using gas. So he went into the firewood business. Now he's doing the teaching plus he's doing the business on the side. One woman comes to Mawlana, "You know, Mawlana, I got a masla." So Mawlana explained, Mawlana explained the masla to her. So she says, "Maine wo lakra wale moli sahab ko bhi poocha, lekin itminan nahi hua. I asked that lakra Mawlana also, firewood Mawlana, but I wasn't quite comfortable." Now see what happens to these people, how they think, how the common person thinks. Once you go into this thing, how they think, how they look at you. Now you may reason with 100 reasons that I'm doing halal, not eating anybody's wealth, making a halal living, see? But they look at you differently. Now suddenly this Mawlana that is doing that lakra business also, now he's taken, his whole approach has changed. Before, if the student wanted an explanation, he would give him that explanation. Over time, the student needed some type of tuition, he gave him the tuition. It was itminan, there was no business problems attached to him. Now, if he is teaching, and one person comes with a good order, "Hey, Mawlana, I need to buy 2 tons of wood." So Mawlana can't chase him away, because I'm losing business. 2 tons of wood, where am I going to get this type of orders? This order comes once in a year. Once in a year I get this order. If I got this order, do mahina ka kaam chal jayega. 2 months, my business is done. I can't chase him away. And I can't attend to him same time because now it's madrasa time. So I have to say something in between now. Something in between. Abhi aapko de dunga. I'll give it to you just now. He can't lose the customer. And he can't serve the customer also at that moment. So he has to say something in between. Now his whole approach has changed. On that side, to the customer, he has to speak something like a white lie. As far as those students are concerned, and the students, he has to also see them differently. So those students now he's looking, I need to work 6 hours, 6 to 6, 12, sharp. You're on time, well, very good. If you come past the time, or you delayed, or you couldn't understand, then well, my time is over. I'm being paid only for these 6 hours, I'm going now. You see me tomorrow. So that attention, that focus that the students used to be enjoying, now it's gone, finished. See, now this is a dangerous thing. This whole intizam of education and deen then collapses, erodes, becomes weakened. You must remember that these people that come to the masjid, come to the madrasa, Imam Ghazali Sabramda says, that ustad, that alim, right, he needs to appreciate every student. That usne apne dil ki zameer ko khol liya, dil ki zameen ko khol liya, taake aap apne ilm ke beej ko uske andar bo de. He's opened up the farm, he's opened up the farm of his heart, that you may plant the seeds of your education into it. Agar wo apne dil ke zameen ko nahi kholta, to aapke ilm ke beej sab khatam ho jate. If these students had not opened up the farms of their hearts to you, then all that education that you had would have been ruined, would have been lost. Imagine if you find a lot of people, a lot of ulama graduated, right? But they don't get that opportunity to go and teach the kitabs that they had learned. What happens after a few years? I remember one buzur came here from Saharanpur. So he was studying at the time of Maulana Sheikh Yunus Rahmatullahi, Ahmad Barakatuh, who was a Sheikh of Hadith in Saharanpur. So he says that there was one student coming in from Palanpur, extremely intelligent. He was the brightest, more brighter than even Sheikh Yunus. He used to make takrar there. The whole class would listen to his takrar. And his takrar would be even better than the ustad's takrar. What explanation the ustad gave, his takrar used to be even better than that. He came one day after 15 or 20 years, he came to Saharanpur to admit his child. So when he's admitting his child, they got to know him, oh, this is the person. So how you now, what the kitabs you are teaching, you know, you had such an excellent talent, you are such a talented person. Now, where are you now? What are you doing? So he cried. He cried, and thereafter he says, you know, this kitab now seems to me like ants are walking on it. I can't read a single thing. 20 years I left the kitabs, I can't explain and I can't understand a single thing. I have left the kitabs, and this is what happened to me. So the one that is teaching and he's got the opportunity of teaching, in being that in that mahol, he must be very grateful to Allah Ta'ala that he's got the opportunity of continuing and progressing and strengthening his ilm. And you don't have that opportunity, then you're in big trouble. You can be in big problems. So this intizam, we are talking of is intizam, that alim needs to have some intizam in his mind, in his ways. The way he's carrying on. One is, like I say, his time is. He's giving the time. We had Miyaz Samir Abdul Rahman Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. He was only expected to be working about 3 hours in the day. But without any exaggeration, Monday comes, he is teaching about 10, 12 hours every day. 10, 12 hours. He's coming into the madrasa before Fajr, 1 hour. His first session is running to about four hours. From what? 4 o'clock. Fajr namaz is 5 o'clock, so he's coming at about 4 o'clock. And from 4 o'clock right till 9 o'clock, he's there in the madrasa. 5 hours. Then he's there again. Right throughout the day, right till Isha is there. So it's about 11, 12 hours every day without fail. All the day, everything he left aside. As a result, so many people, he may have burnt himself. To the core, he may have burnt himself, but people took the benefit. Like that candle, it burns itself. It burns itself, but people all around take the benefit of the light. Everything is illuminated. Everything takes that benefit. So that must be the example of an alim, that he burns himself, and everybody takes the benefit. Hazrat Muhammad Thani Sahib Ramtai, he went to the extent of saying اگر طالب علم نے استاد کو مار لیا, if he hits the استاد, if he strikes the استاد, hits him, insults him, استاد کو چاہے پھر بھی ان کو پڑھائے, تو استاد should then to teach him. ان کا کیا بگاڑ, ان کا کیا نقصان ہوا؟ If he teaches him, then on the side of the استاد, what is the loss? اس کا تو فائدہ ہی فائدہ ہے. In spite of that student hitting him and that استاد goes on teaching him, the استاد is still benefiting. He still stands to benefit. He is not in a loss at any time. You must go on. You must go on with this. So the heart that you need to have, the tolerance you need to have, the type of capacity you need to have, your mind is just on that, that the student knows his work or not. Like Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he should have a full day. I know when it was, when we were in Dioban, he must have been about over 70 at the time. But he will have a full day after Fajr. Then he's going to the Darul Iftar. Then he's teaching someone here in the room. See? Then after Zuhr, his classes again. And after Maghrib, after Asr, people will be in consultation in the Majlis. Different type of Mastas are coming in. Then after Isha again, he's teaching right till 12 o'clock, Bukhari Sharif. He wasn't required to work and work himself till that point. He could manage, with the wealth that he had, he could manage not even teaching. But now, what compelled him to teach like this and burn himself like this? See? Till 12 o'clock, without fail, he won't teach Bukhari Sharif, etc. So, that type of heart that the ustad needs to have. I want to dedicate myself for deen. I'll burn myself, but these people around me will all benefit. Everybody will benefit. For years to come thereafter, there'll be a deeni environment in this area. There'll be youngsters coming in. There'll be elders coming in. People will be practicing deen. But that would require that I myself make some sacrifices. He left out his Saturday, he left out his Sunday. He will only attend sometimes. Sometimes he will attend a janaza, or if it's an immediate relative, it's going to a nikah and coming back. He'll be back again. On time he's there. So this, eventually after some time, it begins to pay out. See, great, great luminaries are born. Mufsa Rahmatullahi burnt himself, but then he had students like Mawlana Abrar Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali from Hardoi. Students like Sheikh Yunus Rahmatullahi, Damat Barakatum, like Mawlana Siddiq Bandwi Sahib Rahmatullahi. Then again, they were oceans of knowledge. And with their ilm, they illuminated the entire world. But when you burn yourself like this, Allah Ta'ala blesses you with that type of students as well. And for years to come thereafter, people take from you that ocean of knowledge, they begin to benefit of. But you feel, no, I'm just paid for this, and I just work accordingly. I can't be slaving myself for them. Then that's your prerogative, your right. You can go that way. But then in a very short span of time, you will find the effect of it in your own family. When you couldn't appreciate that ilm, you couldn't be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by serving people, then you will find that in yourself and your children that jahalat will begin to replace that ilm. Ignorance will replace you. So for your own security, you need to get into it. Like the Jamaat tells you, you're doing this work for your own good, for your own protection. You'll be doing the work, you'll find deen within you. And the moment you leave out the work, then the deterioration will set in to you first. Same applies to ilm. It will come into you and your own family will come into. So your protection lies in carrying on doing the work. Don't look at the conditions, halat, etc. Don't look at it. I remember Mustafa Rahman was about 75. And at that age, you know, the Dioban food, he was eating the same mess food. That mess food is very difficult to put in. I know South African students couldn't eat one morsel of it, they couldn't eat. It's so watery and whatever it was. Or in our zamana, perhaps it was a little bit better, but it won't go down. But that was his food. He's eating lunch from there, he's eating supper from that. And then too, he's teaching Bukhari Sharif. Now here you'll say, hey, you're teaching Bukhari Sharif, you need to eat so much badam. And if Sheikh Farooq was here, you'd say, you need to eat some seeds also. And here he was eating that madrasa food and teaching this. He was eating the madrasa food and teaching like this. So with this type of sacrifice, this type of qurbani that they made, found that we are enjoying from the fruit of their ilm. If we want that people should enjoy from the fruit of our ilm, now in this country you find a lot of new Muslims coming in. We begin to complain about them, they're behaving like this, they're doing this, they don't do this. But do we give them the time, that extra attention? We give them that type extra affection, like how we will give to our own children, do we give it? You will give it, then you'll find them also changing accordingly. But you don't give them that attention, that type of time, that type of affection, you don't show them. And then you don't see the colors in them and you complain, then it's not fair. Okay? You give them that affection, that attention, you will not see, perhaps in your lifetime, you won't see the good of it. But the people that will come thereafter, they will see as child. Abu Ustad was like this, and he was like this, and he was like this. Now that colors, your colors will begin to rub onto those students. They will make that similar type of qurbani. So that alim and that mullah that is in his community, he's a beacon of light. He's a mantle of light. He needs to be stuck in his place. And he needs to have system within him. And you'll see that whole community will begin to grow around him. They will love him, they will respect him. They will be there for him. For all situations they will be for him. But then he must be a mantle of light. A beacon of light he must be at all times. Allah Taufiq.